to Bunce's Boxing Podcast, the last one of 2015. What a year it's been. Steve Bunce is with us, as ever, of course, to have a look through the final weekend of big boxing. Bunce, we're going to have a good chat about that Andy Lee, Billy Joe Saunders fight, and the Bill accompanying it as well. But first of all, hello, and what about last weekend?
Yeah, it was something special last weekend, wasn't it? It was a bit of something for everybody. There was the agony of Kevin Mitchell finally in his fourth world title fight, falling short and admitting that basically he hasn't got the punch resistance anymore. Nothing wrong with his heart, nothing wrong with his desire, but just hasn't got the punch resistance. We had all sorts of bits and pieces. Obviously, Chris Eubank did exactly what we thought he would do. He was just a different league to Spike. And then we had such an old-fashioned, ridiculous throwback slugfest that if you'd have filmed it in black and white and thrown in some smoke as a CGI, it could have passed off as an eight-rounder Shoreditch Town Hall in 1950. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
The right man won on the night. Sadly, though, they still haven't shaken each other's hand.
I suppose it all builds up for if there's going to be a rematch. I mean, there's pictures, of course, of, you know, this shoulder and everything. You know, there's still controversy surrounding the fight, basically, Bunce, isn't there?
Absolutely, there is. I mean, Dillian White's got no problem with the ending. He got hit on the chin properly, but he's saying if I'd have had a shoulder from the second round, who knows what would have happened. He's not saying he would have definitely won, but he's saying, hey-ho, we don't know. Listen, I think we could see a second fight. It makes all the sense in the world.
People who listen to this podcast for the last God knows how long will know that I'm a fan of your writing as well as your broadcasting, Bunce. That piece you did in The Independent last week, looking back on the Lennox Lewis and especially the Frank Bruno fight, I mean, you must be proud of that piece, Bunce, because how many similarities are between that Jumbo Cummings-Bruno fight and the one between... It was amazing. I was like I was watching the same fight. Even kind of body shape and the way Bruno was held up as being the next great thing.
Listen, you know, the scare at the end of that first round against Floyd Jumbo Cummings all those years ago. But there's similarities, obviously, with that fight are more physical. The similarities are more statistical with the Mason-Lennox-Lewis fight.
Yeah.
Because for Lennox Lewis, an Olympian, he was having his 15th fight. For Anthony Joshua, an Olympic gold medalist like Lewis, he was having his 15th fight. There was about 7 months' age in difference. And Lennox had to go absolutely into the trenches to finally stop Mason. But Mason, wait for it, was world-ranked, unbeaten in 35 fights. Now, I ask you, if Mason had been in the ring with Joshua last week, we would be discussing a very different outcome now. And the good thing is, and I did this week in a couple of places, mostly in The Independent, is that at least what happened in that 7-round slugfest is a little bit of sense was sprinkled above the heads of the people in the Joshua business. And they stopped afterwards talking about how he'd knock out this guy in 1 and 2 rounds. And Joshua said, I'm far from there, i.e. I'm not ready for those guys yet. Get me Dillian in a rematch, he gives me rounds.
Mm.
The kid should be left to do all his talking. The people around him who make money from him, they should not be allowed to start claiming that he's the greatest heavyweight since sliced bread. It doesn't do him any favours. It doesn't do the business any favours.
No, and that's it's a nice thing to actually listen to Anthony Joshua because, as you say, he's straight down the line. He knows he's not falling anywhere. He knows where he is in the rankings, and he's quite open, isn't he, by saying, I'm not going to fight these guys yet. Fine,
you know,
great.
That fight there the other night, you know, it was so terrific, but every single second of every round was competitive. You know, that's brilliant, but that's not a guy who's ready to move up too far simply because when you move up, you get exposed. Mm. That's what people do.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was last week, and it was a weekend.
Yeah, indeed. Just one quick word on Dillian White. We talked about him briefly there, but having watched the fight back again, he was rocked a few times. His powers of recovery, Bunce, are fantastic. I mean, his legs went stiff maybe 4 or 5 times in that fight, and he came straight back into him apart from that one, obviously, that one shot that got him, and he couldn't recover from that one in time. But obviously, it's going to be great fun to watch his progress through the ranks as well, isn't it?
And it made Dillian White, that was, I think, his 19th fight. Before then, he was a guy that was, you know, fluctuating in weight, fighting for peanuts on small shows, and trading on the back of this amateur victory over Joshua. He proved the other night that A, he belongs in the ring with Joshua. And you know what, going into the second fight, if they have it, I think they will. Joshua will be the favourite, but I tell you what, there'll be plenty of sneaky bets on Dillian.
Let's go to the MEN Arena then, shall we? Vox Nation got a cracking bill headed by Andy Lee and Billy Joe Saunders. There's so many titles on the line here, but I know some of them are vacants and intercontinentals, but there's some short...
Eight titles, I think there are.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Nice
belt,
boxing.
The belt makers have had to delay their Christmas party.
There's a lot of...
They are. There's only a couple of belt makers in the world. There's
That's
one
brilliant.
In Birmingham. They've
that.
Had to hire in staff.
There's a lot of short prices here. You know, you look at Liam Williams is 1-8. Liam Smith is 1-6. You're looking at Paul Butler at 1-33. And one fight that I want to have a quick chat about, Buncey, was the Thomas Stalker Craig Evans fight. 4-9 Stalker, 20-1 the draw, 7-4 Evans. This is for the vacant WBO European lightweight title. Evans 14-1-1, and his opponent Stalker, of course, we remember from the Olympics as well, 10-1-2. Cracking fight this, Buncey, isn't it?
It's a great fight, because first time round it was a fantastic fight. And it was a hard fight first time round, and it was Tommy Stalker's last stand. Here's the guy, he was the captain at the Olympics, and he should have got a medal. He got it wrong in the early rounds and didn't progress. But, you know, he was worthy to be a finalist. He'd been in a world amateur final 7 or 8 months earlier. Got it wrong in London 2012. And as a pro, everyone said he lacks the power, he lacks this. He flirted going up a weight, and he got taken care of by Jack Cattrall, who really beat him. He came down, went to the MGM, changed trainer, got his head together, got his act together. And everyone thought he'd done enough against Craig Evans last time. Who, by the way, shouldn't be a lightweight, should only be a super feather, to be honest, in my opinion. So what happened was at the bell, it was given as a draw. I thought Tommy had done enough. I thought he was heroic. I thought he fought fantastically. And then Craig Evans got the Hero of the Year award. But when he sat down to do the interview with me at ringside, said straight away, he won. Pointing at Stalker. So they do it again. Now, that doesn't mean Stalker will naturally win the rematch. Evans is actually a terrific fighter. I just think there's a couple of... Just a little bit missing, strength-wise, power-wise, up at lightweight. And I fancy Stalker, same type of fight, but this time to get the verdict. Tommy Stalker on points. And at lightweight, he's not with that top tier of 5 or 6. And let's get it right. They're all circling each other in world title fights or holding world title fights. But he's leading. If he beats Evans, he'll be leading the pack of chasers. Mm. I fancy Stalker, and I fancy him on points.
Yeah, Stalker by decision, or technical decision, is 11-10. He's 4-9, as I said, to win the fight. So odds against to get a decision. 7-2 if he stops Evans. Evans by stoppage is 9-2, and Evans by decision is 7-2. The draw, just to, if it happens again, 20-1. All the rounds, group round betting, they're available as well if you want to go a little bit deeper into that one. I skipped past those fights a little bit, Buncey, on the card. That's not to decree the fights at all. It's just to kind of say that there's some short prices out there. I mean, are we talking about the likes of Liam Smith, who's fantastic to watch at 1-6? Is that a gimme, as the bookies say? Liam Williams at 1-8, Paul Butler at 1-33. They should all win, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they should all win, and you've got to fancy all three of them to win decently. Butler's got a slightly harder fight. I think he's a full fight and a former European champion who's never been stopped, so that looks like she might get some rounds. Although saying that, Butler's in angry form since losing a world title fight earlier this year. The Liam Smith fight is a classic first defence. He's fighting against a local guy who's selling plenty of tickets. Who there've been worse challengers for world titles. Don't imagine that Kilrain Jimmy Kelly is the worst challenger ever. There's a lot of pride at stake. There's a lot of nastiness at stake. There's a lot of sort of intercity rivalry at stake, and Jimmy Kelly will absolutely go out on his shield. He'll give it absolutely everything. But it would, for Liam to lose, and this is not a criticism of Jimmy Kelly. For Liam to lose, he'd have to have a terrible day, and he'd have to be coming off of a 6-week flu. He's not coming off of a 6-week flu, and he's too much of a pro to have a terrible day, because Joe Gallagher won't let him have more than one terrible round. I fancy Liam Smith will prove his grade, and Kilrain Jimmy Kelly will come back in the next 6 months or so and be in a far more competitive British title fight. So that takes care of him. Mm. The Liam Williams fight. Now, Liam Williams hasn't fought since November of 2014. Had Liam Williams had two or three fights in 2015, instead of being out with a hand injury that then got infected, we could be having a showdown between the Liams. That's a fight we've got to look forward to next year. Liam Williams will also win. He can fall asleep slightly in fights, and assuming he's a bit rusty, that might actually go a little bit longer. I still fancy him for a stoppage. Butler could sneak in a stoppage, and he should have decent odds on that. And Liam Smith, I'm convinced, will get a stoppage. The three of them on stoppage, the three of them to win, definitely. Put it in on Aki with Stalker on points. We're starting to build a few quid.
You're not kidding. Yeah, Liam Smith, of course, coming off the back of six straight stoppages. 7-7-8, the rounds that he's finished his last three fights in as well. So all those groups...
And that's about right. That's about right. Well, we'll start to tell.
Smith to finish him between round 7 and 9. So 7, 8 and 9 is 100 to 30. So that might be one that you like. Might be worth looking at. The main event, Buncey, looks an absolute cracker, doesn't it? Andy Lee versus Billy Joe Saunders. It's a pick'em. 10-11 Andy Lee, 10-11 Billy Joe Saunders, 20-1 the price for the draw here. As I say, a cracking looking fight. Both of these fighters, we've seen a lot more of Billy Joe Saunders on these shores recently, but of course Andy Lee, we've seen a lot more of him recently. This is for the WBO middleweight title, of course, which Andy Lee currently holds. His record, Buncey, is a good one. There's nothing wrong with his record. Billy Joe Saunders, of course, unbeaten, 22-0, 34-2-1. Andy Lee, and there's nothing to be worried about there at all, is there? You know, he's been in with some good fighters. Anyone who's watched his progress, the losses came against Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. And the other one against Brian Vera back in 2008 when he was stopped in round 7. So, you know, this guy's decent. Draw against Peter Quillen as well. Should be a belter, this, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it should be a belter. And it's really... sometimes you get fights, every week you get fights which people try and tell us are 50-50, and then the bookies add them 8-1 against or something. So, now, this is the last 50-50 that I was involved with. In fact, the last true, genuine 50-50 title fight at British level or above involving a British boxer, in my opinion, was Billy Joe Saunders against Chris Eubank Jr. last November, November 2014. And I'll tell you why I say that, Lee, because I made that film, I went on the road, I went to, I think, 10 different gyms in 8 different cities over four or 5 days. So I was in gyms with all sorts of people, you know, men, women, all sorts of different ages and grades and styles. And I didn't leave any gym convinced that one, either Billy Joe Saunders or Chris Eubank Jr. would win. Half the gym would be Eubank Jr. and half the gym would be Billy Joe Saunders. Then I'd go to another gym, it would be exactly the same. It was quite incredible. And I'm getting the same feeling. I haven't done the tour of the gyms with this one, but I'm getting the same feeling here. I'm talking to people and they're telling me exactly why Billy Joe Saunders will win. Then I'm talking to other people and they're telling me exactly why Andy Lee will win. And I'm looking at it and I'm trying to balance it up. I've seen Billy Joe Saunders, an interview that was done with him yesterday. He looks like a different person. He looks lean. He looks healthy. He looks completely different. His body's completely different. Now, that's two things. He's either in the greatest shape of his life, or we're confusing the leanness for actually being slightly pushed on the weight and looking slim and skinny, in which case it could be a disaster for him. Andy Lee doesn't change. He's like a rock. He's been there. He's done it. He's been selling the T-shirt for about 10 years. Him and Adam Booth have worked on a bit of power and a bit of strength. Manny Stewart, who he was with for years, they worked on the skills. They worked on the subtleties. They worked on the A to Z of the ins and outs of actually boxing. Now, Adam Booth just had that bit of grit, bit of nastiness. He's on a fantastic run of wins or draws against good fighters, knocking them down, getting up from knockouts, taking them out, unbeaten Matty Korobov to win the title. It's a really hard fight. Is Andy Lee busy enough to beat the Billy Joe Saunders from the first 6 rounds of the Chris Eubank fight? The answer's no. Can Billy Joe Saunders stay focused for more than 6 rounds and not get drawn into a slugfest like he did against Eubank last year over the last 6 rounds, which was a really tight fight? It was 6 rounds each. You probably, you know, you maybe gave an extra round to Saunders, but it wasn't, if that had been a draw, you couldn't have complained. And we forget that. You know, it wasn't the whitewash that some people like to think it was. It was a really hard fight. So going into this fight, is Andy Lee busy enough to outpoint Billy Joe Saunders? He probably is, but he'd have to hurt him at some point and slow him down. Is Billy Joe Saunders busy enough and elusive enough to outpoint Andy Lee and not get hurt? Yes, he is, without a doubt. Does Andy Lee possess enough venom in his southpaw or right hook to take care of Billy Joe Saunders? Yes, he does. Will Billy Joe Saunders make himself available for that shot? No, he will not. They've both got experienced corner men in Adam Booth with Lee and in Jimmy Tibbs with Billy Joe Saunders. This is a genuine 50-50, a genuine pick-em fight. I can't make a case for Billy Joe Saunders stopping Andy Lee, so I'm going to get rid of that. Mm-hmm. The draw is quite sexy, I've got to be honest with you. You know, in a fight of two arse, the draw is not a bad bet. So I'm getting rid of Saunders, stopping Lee. I'm keeping the draw in the mix. So it's down to, can Lee stop Saunders? Well, Saunders never been hurt. He's been in some good fights, never been hurt, never been wobbling and falling all over the place and out on his feet. So I'm not sure Lee can actually stop Saunders, even though that's what some people seem to think. So it's down to Lee on points or Saunders on points. And if you look at who's the busier guy over 12 rounds, and Billy Joe Saunders has done something like 6 or 7 12-rounders in his last 8 or 9 fights, you have to start to think, well, Billy Joe Saunders can nick this on points. However, the verdict after one of the longest monologues I think I've ever produced on this podcast in the 10 years we've been doing it is I just fancy Andy Lee on point, very tight, very, very tight and controversial.
No, Bunch, I think that was one of your, maybe one of your longest, but one of your best previews of a fight we've heard on here. That's fantastic.
You need to analyse the fight.
You have to. And like you say, you've got to put things away. So we're looking at 3-1, Andy Lee by decision, with a little bit of a saver on the draw at 20-1.
Yeah, I do. I think Andy Lee might need to either drop Billy late on to just get the extra couple of points. It might be like that. You know, you might find after 5 rounds. I can't see either of them losing their head. So you can only go on form. I just think Andy's got enough in him, enough grade. I just think he might nick it.
Yeah, if that's the case, I think it'd be exciting. In fact, you can imagine Billy Joe Saunders going out, maybe racing out into a lead, and then Andy Lee pegging him back. We saw Billy Joe Saunders. Obviously, you know, we haven't seen him, you know, in any trouble, like you say, but it's going to be a fantastic one. And there's loads of great content around as well. I don't know if it's probably on the Box Nation website, but on the Box Nation YouTube channel, I know I was watching the head-to-head that you did with them. That's on Box Nation Official, I think, the Box Nation YouTube page is.
That was back in August.
Yeah, that was before the postponement, but still great to watch, though. Still there. There's loads of info there. So, Buncey, thank you very much. I think we've done bang on 15 minutes there. Thank you. Thank you for all your previews this year. It's been always entertaining. It's been great to have you on, and we'll look forward to 2016.
Lee, thank you. It's been a delight and a pleasure, and I just wish we'd have made more punters happy. We hope we've entertained them a little bit every week.
Cheers, Bunty.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.